from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, verse number 11 and 12. No, 12 and 13, right? Okay, 12 and 13. Arjuna Uvacha Para Brahman Para Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Majam Vibhu Ahustvam Rishaya Sarve Devarishi Naradastata Asito Devalo Vyasa Svaya Cheva Bravissime Arjuna Uvacha Para Brahmam Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Majam Vibhum Ahustvam Rishaya Sarve Devarishi Naradastata Asito Devalo Vyasa Svayam Cheva Bravissime. Somebody would like to try? Param Brahma Param Dhamma Avitram Paramam Bhavam
Devasvam Rishaya Sarve Devarsi Naradastata Asito Devalovyasa Swayam Jeva Bravissime.
And we have one more special guest who is going to chant. This is a rare footage of Prabhupada chanting this verse. So, as he chants, we'll repeat the second line, okay? Param Brahma. Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavanam.
Purusham Shaswatam Divyam.
Arandevam Ajam Vibhum. Jai Shri. That was a rare footage from Los Angeles, Prabhupada chanting this verse. Okay, let's go on to the synonyms. Arjuna Uvacha. Arjuna said, Param Supreme Brahma Truth. Param. What is Param? Supreme. Dhamam. Sustenance. Pavitram. Pure. Paramam. Supreme. Bhavam. You. Purusham. Personality. Sasvatam. Eternal. Divyam. Transcendental. Adi. Devam. The original Lord. Ajam. Unborn. Vibhum. Greatest. Aho. Say. Tvam. Of you. Rishaya. Sages. Sarve. All. Devarishyaha. The sages among the demigods. Naradaha. Narada. Tata. Also. Asitaha. Asita. Devalaha. Devala. Vyasaha. Vyasa. Svayam. Personally. Cha. Also, Eva, certainly, Bravisi, you are explaining, may unto me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Arjuna said, I'll say it first, then we'll repeat, okay? Okay. Arjuna said, I'll say first. Then you follow after, okay? Let me read the first translation and then we all will chant it together. Alright. So Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it unto me. Okay, so let's go over the translation. Now you can repeat. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we're going through, let's count how many adjectives here, right? So the first one, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second one, the ultimate abode. The purest. That's how many?
Three.
That's three. The absolute truth. Four. You are the eternal. Transcendental. Original. Person. The unborn. And the greatest. How many? Good. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it unto me. So we have nine powerful descriptions of Krishna here by Arjuna. let's see what Prabhupada put in the purport. In these two verses, the Supreme Lord gives a chance to the Mayavadi philosophers. For here it is clear that the Supreme is different from the individual soul. Arjuna, after hearing the essential four verses of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called Chaturshloki 8 to 11, in this chapter, became completely free from all doubts and accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Two things: he became free from doubts and he accepted Krishna. He at once boldly declares, "You are Param Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And previously Krishna stated that he is the originator of everything and everyone. Where has he said that? Yes, good. Wow, everybody's listening today. Good. Yes, he just said that 2-3 verses ago. Every demigod and every human being is dependent on him. Men and demigods, out of ignorance, think that they are absolute and independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That ignorance is removed perfectly by the discharge of devotional service. This has already been explained in the previous verses by the Lord. Which previous verse? Yes, the last one, 11th one. Tesam evanukampartam akjamma gyanatam jyantam tamaha Nasayami atmabhavasto gyanandipena basvita. That verse, okay? Now, by his grace, Arjuna is accepting him as the supreme truth. In concordance with the Vedic injunction. It is not that because Krishna is Arjuna's intimate friend, Arjuna is flattering him by calling him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. Whatever Arjuna says in these two verses is confirmed by Vedic truth. Vedic injunction affirms that only one who takes to devotional service to the Supreme Lord can understand him, whereas others cannot. Where does Krishna say this? Yes. Wow. That's really good. All Bhakti Shastri students here. Okay. Each and every word of this verse spoken by Arjuna. This is what we're going to do just now. Go through each and every word and see where is Krishna said this. Each and every word of this verse spoken by Arjuna is confirmed by Vedic injunction. In the Kena Upanishad, it is stated that the Supreme Brahman is the rest for everything, and Krishna has already explained that everything is resting on him. Where? Yes. How does it start? Matta paratanandan yat kinchit asti dananjaya mai sarva idam propta sutra mani ganayava. Yes, that verse. The Mundaka Upanishad confirms that the Supreme Lord, in whom everything is resting, can be realized only by those who engage in constantly in thinking of him. This constant thinking of Krishna is smaranam, one of the methods of devotional service. Where has Krishna said this one? Yes, 7-1. Mat chitta mat gata prana. Also 7-1. Mayas shaktam manapartha. Use your mind and think about me. Get your mind attached to me. It is only by devotional service to Krishna that one can understand his position and get rid of the material body. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is accepted as the purest of the pure. One who understands that Krishna is the purest of the pure can become purified from all sinful activities. One cannot be disinfected from sinful activities unless he surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. Arjuna's acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Pure complies with the injunction of the Vedic literatures. This is also confirmed by great personalities of whom Narada is the chief. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should always meditate upon him and enjoy one's transcendental relationship. One should enjoy one's relationship with Krishna. It's a special relationship. One should enjoy it, Prabhupada is saying here. With him, he is the supreme existence. He is free from bodily needs, birth and death. Not only does Arjuna confirm this, but all the Vedic literatures, the Puranas and the histories. In all Vedic literatures, Krishna is thus described, and the Supreme Lord himself also says in the fourth chapter, "Although I am unborn, I appear on the earth to establish religious principles." Where is that? Yadyada charity, to establish religious principles. Te sestas. Yes, that verse. Okay? He is the supreme origin. He has no cause, for he is the cause of all causes, and everything is emanating from him. This perfect knowledge can be had by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Here Arjuna expresses himself through the grace of Krishna. Now, this is a very important point. If we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, do we want to understand Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
So yes, we want to understand. Let's see. We should accept the statement in these two verses. This is called the Parampara system. Acceptance of the disciplic succession. Unless one is in the disciplic succession, he cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. It is not possible by so-called academic education. Unfortunately, those proud of their academic education, despite so much evidence in Vedic literature, stick to their obstinate conviction that Krishna is an ordinary person. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmei Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavanamuscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanamuscha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Tyade Sitarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Bhavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, what a powerful purport that was. I'm perspiring already. So Prabhupada really packed a lot into that purport. So what is this verse? We just heard the Chatur verse, Chatur Sloki, from 8 to 11. And now we're hearing from this 12 and 13. And Prabhupada is really stressing, he put so much into this purport. expressing that this is the essence. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, you have to understand these verses. And why is that? Because this is directly Arjuna's realization of what he's heard. This is what Arjuna has heard in two verses, actually in one verse. The second one is a verification. So it's a very interesting combination, these two verses. We're going to explore it now. So Arjuna speaks the essential message of the Bhagavad Gita according to how he has realized it. So he's heard and heard and heard and heard and heard, right up to 9 chapters. Coming to this 10th chapter, he's heard this Chatur-sloki also. And now it's him speaking, Krishna, this is what I've understood about all of this. We see the same technique used in the Bhagavatam. Sukadev Goswami would speak and then he would test Parikshit Maharaj. So, ask a question. Or he would propose something which is karmakanda. Or propose something which is gyan, not bhakti. And Parikshit Maharaj would say, oh, no, but that doesn't sound right. That's not good, just like in the Ajamil story. So Parikshit Maharaj asked there, what about if somebody does some sinful activity, how can he avoid this hellish planets of the fifth canto? So sixth canto starts with Ajamil. And then Sukadeva Goswami tests him and he says, oh, you know, you can do atonement. If you do atonement, prayaschitta, then all this sin will be finished. He says, what is the value of atonement? Because if you do it, the desire is not out of the heart. How are you going to remove the desire from the heart? Because the tendency to sin will be there again. So then he says, oh, right, you've understood. That bhakti is the way. Kechit kevalya bhaktya, kechit kevalya bhaktya, vasudeva parayana, agam durvanti karsnena, niharam eva baskara. So he explains this, that devotional service is so powerful, it roots out the sinful tendency right from the heart. It roots it out. It's not just atonement. It's able to burn out, root it out. This is how powerful devotional service. And Prabhupada has also glorified devotional service here. So Krishna's discourse has produced this understanding in Arjuna. So what Arjuna is speaking now, it's what he's heard from Krishna. So Krishna is not an ordinary person, because you can see the profound philosophy, wisdom and understanding that's coming out of Arjuna here. It's very deep. But at the same time, there's a little twist to this, because one can easily say, hey, hold on, it's very nice you're glorifying like this, but you're also very good friends. Maybe it's just eulogizing. You're just glorifying in a very friendship, affectionate way. That's why the second verse, that's why these two verses are joined like this. Because the first part is Arjuna's personal experience of what he's heard. Second part is verification from Shastra. Both are there. It's the personal experience and verification. It's not only I'm saying this. See here, Vyas and Devala, Asita, all of them are also saying it. So don't think that because Krishna and I are good friends, that's why I'm saying this. No. The Shastra is also saying it. So therefore, these two verses are joined in this way. So on one hand, we get the spiritual experience of Arjuna, and then we get scriptural evidence. So both must be there to understand spiritual life. Both must be the scriptural evidence and verification through Shastra. Now there was once a morning walk. Prabhupada was going on a morning walk with some devotees. And then, Prabhupada would walk so fast, right? And then he just stopped. And then he says, why do we accept Krishna as God? He just asked this question. Why do we accept Krishna as God? Yes, who can explain? And one devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, because Krishna says so in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhu. Prabhupada said, what do we care for your Bhagavad Gita? He's playing the role of an atheist now, right? What do we care for your text, your Bhagavad Gita? So the next devotee says, now if you're not going to use Bhagavad Gita, how are you going to explained Krishna is the Supreme. And then all the devotees gave different answers, and all of them Prabhupada was not happy with it. And then Prabhupada said, no, we accept Krishna as Supreme because when we chant Hare Krishna, we experience Him through the chanting. And then the devotees, oh wow, that was so profound. And then 2 weeks later, Prabhupada was at another place and same morning walk again. And then Prabhupada asked the same question again. How do we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality? How do you know Krishna is God? Krishna is the Supreme Person, Personality, God. And devotees were saying, oh, nobody knew how to answer. So in that group, there was one devotee who was there from the previous morning walk. And he was saying, I'm just going to wait till Prabhupada's going to ask me. I'm just going to let everybody know I know the answer. So he was waiting and Prabhupada is asking and everybody's and he is just waiting. Okay, right, it's my turn. And then Prabhupada, and you? And say, yes, Prabhupada, yes. Because, so how do you know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He said, because when we chant Hare Krishna, we can experience Him. And then Prabhupada said, what do we care for your chanting? Then he said, and no? But you just said that the last walk. The Prabhupada, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada. So both answers were there. Both answers were there. On one hand, it's experience by the chanting, I can experience Krishna. And on the other hand, it's Shastra. Just like that, we're trying to understand you. Both must be there. Shastra and your personal experience. Just on Shastra, it's theoretical. Just on your own experience, it's Sahajya. Because you cannot, it's just your own experience. How do you validate it? So by having the combination of both, then it's, this is why this verse is structured like this and it's read out and spoken like this. Both Arjuna's experience of what he's understood and then he's quoting the authorities, the Vedic authorities. Okay? Alright. So, now let's go through the translation of this verse and let's see now, we're going to do some exploring here. We want to see now, where has Arjuna found these? Why is he saying this? Param Brahman, Param Dhaman, Pavittam Paramam Bhavan. Why is he using these terminologies? Because he's using it because Krishna has spoken about it. So where, if we're going to explore a bit, do some detective work and see where has Krishna used these terminologies so that Arjuna is using it now as a realization. So the first one Krishna starts with is Para Brahman. So where has he spoken about himself as a supreme Brahman or as a supreme sustainer or of all existence? Where has he done that? Anybody has an idea? Yes, somebody said it. Yes, that Aham Brahmasmi, but it's not in the first 10 chapters because now it's Arjuna hasn't heard that part yet, but it is there, it's close. If we see this 10:8, he says Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, the Chatur Sloki, everything is coming from me, so the Brahman is also coming from me. And then again in chapter 7 verse 7, so let's see that verse, Bhagavad Gita 7:7, famous one, we also quoted it earlier on. So the translation of that, O conqueror of wealth, chapter 7 verse 7, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. There is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me. So from Brahman, everything comes from the Brahman. It's conscious spirit, right? Brahman means spirit. So everything comes from me. So everything rests upon him, everything comes from him. There's nothing exempt from that. Just like pearls are strung on a thread. So Prabhupada starts this purport with a very powerful, he says, let's give the Mayavadis a chance. We want to be nice to them. Let's give them a chance. So how is he giving them a chance? because he's giving them a chance of how to explain yourself. Here, Krishna, Arjuna is used this word param. Param Brahman, Param Dhamam. So this param, if a Mayavadi is very, one of the main Mahavakyas of Sankaracharya is this Aham Brahmasmi. And they say this is Aham Brahmasmi means I am Brahman. And that's true. You are Brahman. But what is the definition of that? It means you are spirit. So Prabhupada has taken the same phrase and saying, instead of saying I am spirit, he has turned it around and said, I am not the body. If you're not the body, what are you then? It's spirit. It's the same thing. But Prabhupada has just turned it over. So it's easier to understand. If I say I'm spirit, what do I understand about spirit? But in a conditioned state, I understand about the body. I understand I am the body. But if I'm not the body, I can relate from the body inward or outward. But I can't relate from spirit right now because I'm not on that consciousness yet. So it's an easier way to understand. So, yes, we are Brahman, but Arjuna clearly says here, para Brahman. So that means there are two levels here now. One is spirit and the other is para Brahman, higher level of spirit. One is Dhamma and para Dhamma. And like we say, Ishwara. One is Ishwara and then you say Parameshwara or Parameshwara. Satchitananda Vigraha. So there's clearly two distinctive ideas here. It's not that it's all one, just like the Mayavadi. So they will really have a difficult time trying to explain this. So if you meeting, like I was speaking to James just before the class started, if you meeting Mayavadis, this is one of the verses that you should, if you have to get in a debate, if you don't try to avoid them because we should not listen to Mayavada philosophy. But if in a debate and you're trying to defend the philosophy or you're trying to explain a point, this is one of the verses that you're going to have to use. So it's one of the main Mahavakyas of Shankaracharya. So Aham Brahmasmi, we discussed that. And then Prabhupada describes it as you're not the body. It's a much more easier way to understand it. So the principle then is diversity amongst unity. Although there's oneness in Brahman, yes, we are spirit. Yes, we are one with spirit in that way. But it doesn't mean that we are only spirit. Just like if you say, anybody from America here? Yeah, so if you say, you're American, okay? And the president of America, he's also American. Can you say that you and the president are one? But you are one as nationality. In that way, you are one. You both are American, yes. But can you ever compare yourself to that personality? It's vast difference, huge difference. So yes, there's unity, but there's tremendous diversity within that. And if we see what is that diversity in creation, 3/4 of creation is spiritual and only 1/4 of it is material. So if there's so much diversity within the material world, can you imagine that 3/4 of creation which is spiritual, how much of diversity will be there? Tremendous diversity. Alright, the next point in the trance is Param Dhamam. So you are the supreme abode. Where does Krishna speak about this? That Arjuna is quoting this verse. So it's in chapter 9, verse number 4. Chapter 9, verse number 4. Matstani sarvabhutani na chaham tvesa avastitaha. So chapter 9, verse number 4. This is Prabhupada, the translation here. By me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. He's the residence of the entire universe. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So he's actually holding the whole thing together. That's why he's Param Dhamam. So as a maintainer, he's holding. Krishna is doing everything. He's actually doing everything. But he is not burdened. Nachaham matstani bhutani. He's doing it out of love. So it's not only the abode as a place, Goloka Vrindavan, but also in our heart's aspirations. He's also taking care of ourselves, of his devotees in that way. In the material world, we put hopes in fallible shelter, but they don't give us ultimate shelter. We put hopes in fallible things, but Krishna is Paramdhaman. He's the residence of all shelter. So if we take shelter there, this is what Arjuna is trying to teach us. Then Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Oh, Pavitram Paramam. Bhavam is after. Pavitram Paramam. Where does he say this? Pavitram is pure. So the purest and the greatest. So in Isa Upanishad, text number 5, because we're quoting Vedic authority also, like we in the translation Prabhupada mentions about the Puranas and the histories. So one of the Upanishads is Isha Upanishad that we study. And in the 5th verse, it describes this apapavidham, that one is, he's completely pure. Actually, it's described as disinfectant and prophylactic. Very powerful word, disinfectant, prophylactic. Just like the sun, it can purify a very dirty place. It can absorb the urine or something that is there and purify it at the same time. This is the power of the sun. So this is a similar description that is given. Prophylactic and antiseptic. And Purusha Shashvatam Divyam. Yes. Purusha, Adi Purusha. We know Krishna has described himself as the supreme person, the supreme Brahma Samhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha as the supreme person. So here as well, as a few times Krishna has described himself as a person. Arjuna, Bhavan, to you, not formless like the Mayavadis think. So Bhavan means unto you. So you means a person. It's not some formless energy. It means a person. And Ashashvatam, eternal. So he is this eternal feature of Krishna. We also see Mamevamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So he is eternal and the soul is eternal. Both are eternal. And Divyam. Where is Divyam? We hear this in 4.9. Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Krishna is describing that his activities are divine. Divyam. And Adi Devam. Where does he describe that he is the Adi Devam? In 9.2. Aham Adi Devanam. Aham Adi Devanam. Mahasanam cha sarvasaha. In 9.2, the translation, neither the hosts of demigods, nor the great sages, know my origin or opulences. For in every respect, I am the source of the demigods. So he is the Adideva, Adidevam, and the sages. And Ajam. Ajam means unborn. So where does he speak about him himself being unborn? So it's 9.3. Bhagavad Gita 9, verse 3. Yo ma majam adan anadincha veti loka maheshwaram. Translation, he who knows me as the unborn, so Krishna is unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undeluded amongst men, is freed from all sins. And then Vibhum, where does it say Vibhum? So 9.3 is not? What does 9.3 say? Oh, I missed my references. He doesn't speak. So Yoma Majam Anandim Cha? It's not on that. Okay, I'll have to check that reference. Thank you. I'll check that again. Right, so good, everybody is awake also. Keeps me on my, okay. Okay, vibhum. Vibhum. So vibhum is means that, like we know, the soul is Anu, and this Krishna is described as vibhu. So vibhum refers to the jiva is Anu, and Krishna, the Lord, is vibhum. So that's Bhagavad Gita 5:15, vibhum. So you can check that one. Nadate kasya chit param papmam na cheva sukritam vibhu. Translation: nor does the Supreme Spirit assume, supreme here, vibhu, anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. So, 5:15, did you find it? What do you have in 5:15? Yes, that one. Kaschit papmam na cheva sukritim vibhu. You see the word vibhu there? Yes, that one. There's many you can find. I just sourced out some. There's Krishna, so many places is using these words interchangeably and also verbatim, directly. So there's, we're just trying to see out where Arjuna is getting these expressions, because he's put them all in one verse. So where has he heard it in the course of the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna? Okay, now the second part of the verse that what we discussed now is Arjuna's personal experiences. Now we want to see, can that be verified by Shastra, what he is saying? So both spiritual evidence and personal evidence is required for proper spiritual understanding. When both are combined, then the conviction becomes very deep. It is not just an exaggeration speaking. Like Arjuna is saying, oh, maybe they're thinking that we are friends. Prabhupada mentioned that in the purport. That's why I'm glorified. No, it's not like that. Now we're going to see how that through quoting Shastra and quoting the authorities, Mahajans. So not only speaking as friends here, Krishna actually chastised Arjuna. So remember, they're not acting as friends at the current time. Krishna has taken the role of guru. A friend doesn't chastise another friend. Asochanam vasochastam pragyavaram sa bhashase. You're speaking like a learned person, but you're a fool. So immediately he chastises. And then in 2:7 also, Krishna, karpanya dosha prahatas swabhava prachantitam dharma samud chetaha. Dharma, he wants to know about dharma. Prachatvam dharma samoda chaita yakshraya nishtita bruhi sanme shishyamam aham sadimam tvam praparnam. So I am your disciple now. So there's no friendship here. So that's the proof, because right at the beginning they set it clear that this is guru and disciple speaking here. From the second chapter onwards, it's guru and disciple. So there's no friendship. There's no need for him to eulogize in this way. It's actually a guru and disciple relationship here now. So it's very deep philosophy being discussed. And then he quotes the authorities, different authorities, like what are the three main ones that we heard? Narad, yes. Devala, yes. Now it's interesting, two of those personalities come in the same chapter again. Krishna says, when he's describing his opulence, he describes Narada and Vyas. So he describes in these vibhutis. He says, Devarishi aham Narada. Out of the Devarishis, amongst the celestials, seers, I am Narada. And again he says, Munimam api aham. Muninam api aham Vyasa. Among Munis, I am Vyasa. And both of those persons actually come in the same chapter. So what has been described by Arjuna is verified here again by Krishna in this 10th chapter himself. So it's not only Arjuna's understanding, but it's Krishna has also said this. So Krishna is speaking this as the absolute authority. while giving an explanation on philosophy, and then it must be bona fide, as we say, right? It must be bona fide. So towards the end of this purport, because Prabhupada goes on, we've been hearing a lot of detail on Krishna as the Supreme, but there's a very powerful message that comes right towards the end of the purport. Prabhupada at the end describes that unless one is in the disciplic succession. So from that point at the bottom of the purport, unless one is in the disciplic succession, he cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita. It is not possible by so-called academic education. Unfortunately, those proud of their academic education, despite so much evidence in the Vedic literature, stick to their obstinate. Obstinate means just, Prabhupada even puts another word in front of that sometimes. He says, dog obstinacy. Oh, wow, it's so strong. Dog obstinacy, just refuse. They don't want to accept. Say obstinate conviction that Krishna is an ordinary person. They just think, Krishna speaks about that. They think I'm just an ordinary person. So what we'd like to do, let's see if I can get it on quickly. No, it's okay. These things to work, they don't. They obstinate. Yes. Okay, it should come on. So it's very clear that when you're trying to speak to Mayavadis about this, or you're trying to understand this and when you're preaching. These are powerful verses that actually help us solidify the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so that people cannot, you cannot twist it. You can't just say, oh, yeah, it's Arjuna speaking, it's his interpretation of something. No, it's more than that. It's verified by Shastra. So, why is it not working? Okay. Prabhu, the black cable, can you just pull it out? It's the power cord from the back there. Yeah, just pull it out. Could use both hands. And just pull it out and push it back in. Right. Okay, is the light blinking there?
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll come on now. Yeah, that should be easier. Yes. So this is one of the most exciting chapters of the Gita, because Krishna is actually going to show Arjuna now, coming up very soon. So this is an overview of the 10th chapter in different aspects of what Arjuna has described, just some of the prominent verses that solidify what we've been hearing. Maybe somebody, can you read from the back? Yeah, you can try to read.
Can you read in the microphone?
Okay, the microphone is there. Can you switch it on? Just so that we can have it's like selected verses that really bring out the what we've been hearing from Arjuna.
What a single fragment of myself. I pervade and support this entire universe.
Yes. So Krishna has expressed himself as supporting everything, as Mama Teja Samsa Sambhava, just a small part of my. Okay.
Furthermore, O Arjun, I am the generating seed of all existence.
Yes.
There is no being moving or unmoving that and that can exist without me.
Yes. So the nothing can exist without Krishna. He is the seed of everything, like we've been hearing. Okay.
Know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor.
Splendor, yeah. Just a spark of my splendor. That's another one.
Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle.
Yes.
O Arjun, of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self, and among the logicians, I am the conclusive truth.
Getting an eye test at the same time. Jagannath, maybe you can read it. Yeah. Okay.
Neither the
host. Use the mic there. Neither the host of demigods.
On 10.2, neither the host of demigods nor the great sages know my origin, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages.
Yes, so we went over that. Krishna is Adi Devam, he is the source of the demigods. Okay.
On 10.8, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts.
Yes. So then, this, so you can just read, this is why do we accept Krishna as supreme? So just some of the points that we covered today. So you can just read the top captions.
Okay.
Yeah, just on the top.
Supreme Creator.
Yes. So Krishna is the Supreme Creator. We know this, that everything is coming. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. Everything is coming from Him. Therefore, He's the Supreme Creator. Yeah.
Supreme Controller.
Supreme Parameshwar. We discussed this also. This is what the Vedic scripture is saying. This is what Arjuna is saying also.
On 9.24 is Supreme Enjoyer.
Supreme Enjoyer.
And Supreme Knowledgeable.
Yes, because he's speaking the Gita, the Supreme Wisdom. The spiritual, like he said, I am the, out of all sciences, I am the science of the soul, the spiritual science. So he's speaking that.
And Krishna, the source of all Vishnu.
Yes, so everything, because we know, according to Vedic scripture, everything comes from Vishnu. So, who is the source of Vishnu then? Krishna. Just that's why in the Brahma Mohan Leela, when Brahma was bewildered, which feature did he show Brahma? You remember when the cows were changed? And four-handed form. Yes. Four-handed form. Because that's a feature that Brahma could relate to. But what is the source of that? He's teaching Brahma, I am the source of that. So don't think that I'm just playing as a little boy, that it's just some, you know, Gopal playing around. No. I am the source of what you respect in such majesty. I am the source of that.
Mahavishnu, source of all universe, and the middle one is Garbhat Kashai Vishnu, within every universe, and the down is Khirat Kashai Vishnu, super soul in heart.
So those are the three Vishnus.
And here is our Bhagavatam 1.3.28, incarnations of Lord Krishna.
So all the dasa avatars, all the different avatars. In Bhagavatam actually is described the 22 incarnations of God come. And Krishna is also described there. But all of these are actually, he's the source of all of it, as is described and as we've been hearing.
Then according to Brahma Samhita 539.
Yeah.
Shall I read through?
Okay, we'll just skip through because of time. Don't want to take too much of time. I think you're familiar with it. We're just trying to solidify what we've been hearing in a bit of a picture form. Yeah.
I'm the source of the demigods and sages.
Yes.
Then seed of all existences.
Yes. So the seed of all existence. Everything is coming from me.
I'm the knower of the Vedas.
Mm.
By the Vedas I am to be known.
Yes.
15:15.
So when we studying these scriptures, Vedic authority is claiming to explain the supreme truth. So who is that person? That is supposed to be Krishna. And he, by him, I am aham sarvascham vidhi sannivishto. So this is the person who we're trying to come to understand. Okay?
There is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me,
yes,
as pearls are strong on a thread.
So that alone is one of the most defining verses. If you ever need to do an impromptu class or something, just open this verse. Everything is there. It's so clear. It's unambiguous. There's nobody else who's ever described their position as clearly as Krishna's described himself here. So it's very definitive. All right, so I think we'll stop there. If there's any one question, somebody has a question. James, the back.
Hare Krishna. With my speaking with the Mayavadis, there was two main kinds of Mayavadis.
Okay.
And one was an atheist that dismissed the idea of God, which Buddha said to avoid, actually. He said to avoid nihilism. And then the other kind was one that had God still within the material realm, so which is below the Brahma Jyoti, because Buddha had a direct discourse with Brahma.
Yes.
So this is the highest understanding of God that they have. So they accept God, but just as a material creator.
Yes.
So they're not all atheists. Some of them are theists, but they're theists only up to Brahma. They can't see past the Brahma Jyoti.
Because they don't know Param Bhavam Ajananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. Krishna says they don't know my higher feature, my Param Bhavam. This Manusham Tanam Ashritam. They think I'm just a Manush. I'm just an ordinary person. They don't know my higher nature. So yes, when it comes to Mayavadis, Prabhupada advises us, better don't argue with them. And if you have to speak to them, then at least these verses, then try to, because Sanskrit is such a way, they're easily to twist the Sanskrit. It can mean so many different things. So we don't want to get caught up in some kind of word flowery, word jugglery. Better what the authorities are saying. This is my authorities, and this is what my authorities are saying. Vyas, Devala, Asita, this is what they are saying, and this is what they have confirmed, and Krishna himself has spoken about this, and Arjuna has verified it. So I accept it like that. So
I also noticed that at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says that people try to make Krishna an ordinary person.
Yes.
I've noticed that Jesus has the opposite problem. He's an ordinary person that people are trying to make God. So
he's
very
teaching spirituality.
Yes, he's a pure devotee.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to make him God, and here's God, and they're trying to make him a person. That's interesting.
That's true. Anybody else with regards to... Yes, please. Yeah, yeah. Where's the mic? Somebody has to go. They can't leave.
I have a very short sharing. And then
Yes, put the mic on first. Is it on? Yes, please.
My sister did a bit of yoga, and she always had this idea of Krishna being funny and, you know, like light and like that. And she said all of a sudden once she saw Krishna, and she said to he said to her, "Do you think I'm just a jester?" And then he gave her a sort of a resume of these chapters. And she said, "I was just struck." And ever since, she doesn't think of Krishna as a jester. So, and
she's very fortunate.
And now, maybe a very basic question for this audience, but I would really appreciate a clarification. You said, "Aham Brahmasmi" means I am not the body, therefore I am the spirit. Would you please kindly make a very brief, maybe condensed explanation, what is Atma and Jiva and spirit? In that context, did you mean I am soul? Oh, I have a little bit of confusion.
Yes.
What is Atma, Jiva, soul, consciousness, Brahman, Parabrahman?
Yes.
It's for me, it's a little bit of a soup. Would you kindly make just a brief description?
So, what we are discussing first is the Brahman. Let's take the word Brahman. So, Brahman is the totality of existence. It's the totality of everything that exists. And it comes from, it exists, the totality of everything that exists. Now, what Krishna, what Arjuna is glorifying is that although this is spiritual, because by nature everything is, even material nature, until the consciousness is imbued into it, it actually comes from Mahavishnu. So everything is coming from him. Why it acts in this way is because of the laws he put on it. The nature of this substance, which is material, it acts in this way. It kind of deteriorates, it fluctuates, it changes. But when it goes back into the same substance comes out again. It's not that it's a new kind of substance is produced. It when at the time of the Mahatattva, okay, I don't want to get into too much of technicality, but the when what goes into Mahavishnu at the time, at the end of dissolution, that same substance again comes out. So it's not something new that is created. It's just transforming. It's just changing. So that is what is being described. And in that sense, we also fall into that category, because we go in to Mahavishnu if we didn't attain perfection, and then we come out to continue.
So is that the spirit or the soul? Is that the same thing, spirit and soul?
Soul is spirit, what we're talking about. The soul is not material, it's spiritual, it's spirit. But to differentiate between Krishna and the spirit, this terminology is used, Parabrahman. Because Arjuna is clearly seeing there that, yes, I am also Brahman, I am also spirit. As a soul, the qualities that I have is spirit. But I am definitely distinct from you because you are Parabrahman. So what is that distinction? This is also clarified. Nityam nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam jo vitadadi kaman. That both are eternal. Nityam nityanam, both are eternal, but one is dependent on the other. That dependency of the jiva onto the Supreme Lord, that makes him subordinate. He's not in that sense equal. Qualitatively, yes. Prabhupada gives the example of water, salt water, or the spark and the fire. Yes, it's qualitatively the same. But in quantity, it's incomparable. So by nature, spark is fire. And by nature, a huge fire is also fire. But in quantity, it's huge differences. So that's why we are spirit. So we are Brahman. But it's distinctive that Krishna is Parabrahman. So you cannot change that Sanskrit or anything in any way. It's very clear there.
So Atma and spirit is the same,
yes.
But Krishna is Parabrahman.
Yes.
And what is consciousness?
Consciousness is the energy that animates the body. It's the...
Prana?
prana is one aspect, it's the life air. Prana is exists only within the life air, but consciousness is that which pervades. Krishna says in 2:17, avinasi tu tad vidhi yena sarvam idam tatam. Anybody can check that verse? Chapter 2, verse number 17. Let's hear what is consciousness. Avinasi tu tad vidhi. You have it, Jagannath?
That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible.
Yes.
No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul.
Yes. So, this is what Prabhupada is explaining, that that which pervades the whole body. So it's not the soul that is pervading the whole body. It's the consciousness of the soul. It's the energy field, if you want to call it, that the soul is emanating, that is pervading the whole body. But this, without that soul, you won't get that energy field. So that is consciousness.
So the soul is the source, and this consciousness is what comes off of it.
Yes. The soul is the source of consciousness.
The soul is the source of consciousness.
Yes. Yes, it's the source.
Consciousness is because of the soul. If soul is out from the body, there is no consciousness.
Yeah, that is the same thing.
So if I was to put an order of importance, it's Parabrahman on the top, then the spirit, soul, and then the consciousness.
Yes, if you want to understand.
If I want to understand, what's the order of importance?
Yes, if you want to understand it as importance, yes.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for the basic question.
No. If you want to read more on this, it's a little complicated, but chapter 13 explains these three workings. Consciousness, the controller, and the Supreme Prakriti. Setra Tekyagya Jnana Yoga. Chapter 13. It's one of the most philosophical chapters of Gita, but it clearly explains how these three mechanisms work. Prakriti and the controller, supreme controller, and the soul. How these three are interchangeably working. And that's the basis of the following five chapters, actually. Four chapters. 14 is three modes of nature. 15 is Purushottam Yoga. And 16 is divine demoniac nature, and 17 is divisions of faith. All of this is the structure of that tree, the banyan tree. So it's very nicely described there. If you can go through that, it will probably give a better clarity on. Okay. Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande. Hare Krishna.